Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Father, once again we come before you and thank you for the blessing to be able to speak in thy name, and pray that it would be to your honor and to your glory and to the benefit of the souls of thy sheep. We do pray, our God, that you would, as always, that you would be with those that are absent, that you would speak to the heart as the need is. And naturally, we need you to speak to our own hearts as well. We know that there's the meeting that's coming up in Grace Chapel, maybe others. We pray that you would be with that, that people would go and with a great desire to fellowship Christ Jesus, not only just to be with the saints, but more importantly, to honor and glorify you. For those that will be traveling, to give them safety in all of their travels, and bring all back home, not only that's going to the meeting, but those that are away visiting. Bless us now as we look into the Word, that our Lord and Master be honored and glorified. For it is in His name we pray. Amen. As we left off this morning looking at some passages with reference to the fact that Christ is, that God rules over the angels. We've kindly by way of reiteration again that He moves over inanimate objects or inanimate matter, and over the animal life, and then over man, and now we're looking over animals, our angels, just going from the lowest to the highest, all the way up, that God rules over everything. In fact, God will send angels back to this earth when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Let's look in Matthew chapter 13. I do not know that any of us have seen an angel. We may have seen an angel and not know about it. You know, in Hebrews it talks about entertaining strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. We do know this much. Angels were always in the Bible in the masculine gender, and they appeared to look like just other human beings. However, we know that they are more than that. They're not a human being. They are spirits. They are compounded spirit. They're not uncompounded like God. Angels are made up of spiritual substance. I almost said matter. It may be matter. It may not be. I do not know. But when they materialize, that is, when they show themselves to man, they are able to see them. And from all we find in Scripture, they are not only spoke about as he and him and are in the masculine gender, they appear to look like a male. That's nothing against females. But modern man and pagan religion or mysticism or Greek mythology has made angels to be more like women than anything else, and that's far from the Scriptures. But in the book of Matthew, in chapter 13, notice what we find in verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity. God is going to send His angels at the end time, and He is going, and they are going to gather out those that offend, and those that do iniquity. How all of that will be done, I do not know, but God will send His angels. They don't come on their own. They are under the command and under the rule of God. Look in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 31. Well, I want to begin in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now that's going to come too. Why? And how do we know that? Because God said so. The sun is going to be darkened. And the moon is not going to give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Didn't say the Son of Man there. It said the sign of the Son of Man. In heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man. Now they're going to see Him coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. And notice this. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So not only is He going to send the angels to gather up the wicked, He's going to send the angels to gather up the righteous. How's that going to be? Don't know. Other than the fact that it's going to happen. The angels are not going to say, "Now wait a minute, we don't want to do this." They're going to do it. He will send it. Why? Because they are under His sovereign control. You see, what I want you to get the idea, we'll look at this a little bit more as we look at some other scriptures, but I want you to realize and know there's not any, what's the word I'm looking for? There's not any intelligent life out there somewhere that is out from under the sovereign rule and control of God. Whether it's inanimate matter, whether it's the beast of the field, whether it's man, whether it's the angelic creatures, good or bad, we'll see that. God is sovereign over it all. And therefore, there's not some spirit out there that's going to get you. Now, having said that, I'm not ignorant of the devil. There is a lot that goes on under the power of the devil in the and in darkness that I don't even want to talk about. And I do not know how to evaluate it all. I've done enough study to know there's more out there than what most people think. But I also know that whatever is out there is still under the sovereign power of God. And you need to always keep this in mind. It's in the book of John. First John. I'm not going to turn there. But you need to always keep this in mind, child of God. Always keep this in mind. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now you need to keep that in mind. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So So I'm not going to go into demonology and all that goes on under demonology. I don't know all that goes on. I know enough that goes on to know to stay away from it. Don't play with Ouija boards. Don't read the horoscopes. And stay away from all of that kind of demonic stuff. I can say that without reservation. But here we see that He's going to send His angels, either to gather out the wicked or to gather in the elect. And you know what? There's not going to be an angel out there scratching his head and saying, "Now wait a minute, is this a wicked one or is this an elect?" Not only will He send them, they'll know who to get. They'll know who to get. All right. Turn back to Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9. In verse 22, we're breaking into the context. When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Now, there had already been a prophecy somewhat about this. I'm not going to go back and look at all of this prior to this time. And notice this, verse 24, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Zerubbabel might come and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. But the point we want is mainly verse 23. What did God do? God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Whatever this evil spirit was doing, God sent it. Now, God didn't make the evil spirit evil. God didn't make the evil spirit want to do what it wanted to do. God simply allowed the evil spirit to go, and He sent it to do that. You say, well, it didn't say God allowed it. It said God sent him. Well, if you want to say that, that's fine, but the way that God sent him, I think, is in allowing him to do so. But if God were to have said, evil spirit, you go and do that. If that's what God did, that's all right with me. I just don't know how to explain it any other way than the way that I'm trying to explain it. You see, we are creatures created by God. And we can only look at things as much as we know how to look at them. We don't know what all is behind the scene, and all we can do is just simply accept what God said and leave it that way. We do not have the right to say, well, God didn't mean that, or that doesn't really mean what it says. We don't have the right to say that. We have already seen where the devil stirred up David and the Lord stirred up David. And we can assume, as it was with Job, that God allowed the devil to do it. And Job said, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Said, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Well, how did the Lord take away in the day of Job? The devil came along and stirred up the Sabaeans and stirred up the Chaldeans and brought in the wind and the fire and all the other stuff. So we can, I think, safely assume that if God worked that away, as He did in other places like that, by simply allowing the devil or the evil spirit, He did so here as well. I do know this, the evil spirit would not have gone and done that if God had not been in control of it. So God's in control, not only of the good angels, but of the bad angels. Not only the good spirits, but the evil spirits. God sent a lying spirit to Ahab. 1 Kings chapter 22. We know the story somewhat. Now, while you're turning there, I'll kind of give you a little bit of the background. You know that Ahab wanted this vineyard of Naboth, and Jezebel got it for him. And Elijah came to Ahab and he said, in 3 years, the dog's going to lick your blood. Well, God's going to get Ahab into a war. And so, how's God going to get Ahab into a war? He's going to use a lying spirit. So in 1 Kings chapter 22, Ahab goes up to Jehoshaphat. Ahab was king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. You remember in 722 B.C., Israel was divided into the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes after the death of Solomon. You should remember that from some of our Wednesday night services, as well as some of the preaching that I've done to you for many years. Well, and so it, and notice it said, in chapter 22, verse 1, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Assyria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. In other words, Jehoshaphat said, whatever you want to do, we'll do it. I'm yours. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel, that's Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. 400 preachers said, go, God bless you. God's going to be with you. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we might inquire of him? Now, Ahab had his prophets of Baal. Jehoshaphat said, is there a prophet of Jehovah? Notice what Ahab says. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of Jehovah, the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. I don't like to hear him. He never says anything good. I don't like his preaching. It always makes me bad, feel bad. Doesn't build me up. Doesn't make me happy. Doesn't make me feel good. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And, you know, that might not be. Let's hear what he got to say. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat on each of his throne. Having put on their robes in a void place, and the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the king of Syria until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophet declare good, of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith to me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth to battle? To go to Ramoth Gilead to battle? Or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. In other words, he was speaking sarcastically. Oh yeah, go ahead, boom, everything's all right. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, verse 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? In other words, all right, tell me the truth. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord, this is Micaiah speaking, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? In other words, here's the scene up in heaven. There's the Lord. Hear all of these spirits before him. And the Lord said, now how are we going to get Ahab to go into battle that he may die at Ramoth Gilead? You say, well, does that really happen? That's what we just read. Well, why would God do that? I don't know if that's what we read. Well, I don't understand it. I don't know either, but that's what God said. Well, why would he do that? Don't ask me. And one, the last part of verse 20. And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. One was saying one thing, somebody else saying something else, and so on. And there came forth a spirit that stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How are you going to do that? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and so do. Now notice, God did not tell that lying spirit to go lie. See, God's not the author of sin. The spirit was already a lying spirit. This was a bad spirit. This was an evil spirit. This was an evil angel, not a good angel. So God had a conference there with angels, some good and some bad. How are we going to get Ahab? And then one said this, another said that. This said, I'll go lie. I'll be a lying spirit to those 400 men. Notice the odds there. Same as the odds were with Elijah. The prophets of Baal and Elijah, 450-1. The prophets of Baal to Micaiah, 400-1. I submit the same odds today of good preachers to bad preachers. Probably no different. And the Lord said, go. Now therefore the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. The Lord put a lying spirit there. How did He do it? He allowed the lying spirit to go and do that. And then all these prophets challenged Micaiah. And Micaiah said, if I'm not speaking the truth, then kill me when he comes back. I believe that's what it was. You can read the rest of it, something like that. If you'll go on and read the story, you may remember it. Ahab told Jehoshaphat, he said, now when we go into battle, I'm going to disguise myself as just one of the soldiers. You go ahead and dress up like a king. And Jehoshaphat said, okay, I'll do it. Well, you know what happens in battle, don't you? If you can shoot the king down, then you've routed the enemy. And Ahab knew that the enemy was going to be going after Jehoshaphat. And when they got into battle, the king of Syria said, don't worry about this one, don't worry about that one, get the king. And in this case, they wanted to get Ahab. And so they went after what they thought was King Ahab. They found out it's Jehoshaphat. They said, leave him alone. Ahab tried to disguise himself so that the enemy would not try to seek him out. But what happened? There was a soldier out there that was shooting his arrows. And he drew his arrow and shot it at Venture and missed Venture and hit Ahab. You know, he shot it at a Venture. What that means is, Venture was not a man. Venture was not a... He was just out there shooting. He wasn't aiming at any individual. The enemy was over there. He was just grabbing his arrows and shooting toward the enemy. He didn't have anybody singled out. But there was an arrow that flew from his bow. And it found an old Ahab was riding in a chariot. And that arrow, being shot at a Venture, found a weak place in the armor of Ahab and hit him. God was not only sovereign over the evil spirit here, a lying spirit, He controlled that arrow. The sovereignty of God. Here we see in this, not only God sent a lying spirit to Ahab, He controlled the arrow that killed Ahab. And his prophecy from Elijah was fulfilled that the dogs licked the blood. 3 years in where the dogs had licked the blood of Naboth. God sent an evil spirit to Saul. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. God is over His creation. Everything. God, 1 Samuel chapter 16. I guess it'd help if I got in 1 Samuel instead of 2nd. I knew it didn't look right. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we'll just read verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You see that? God sent an evil spirit to Saul. Many people argue back and forth whether Saul was a child of God or whether he wasn't. I really don't know. I leave that with God. Sometimes I think so and sometimes I think not, depending on which one it is. But I do know this much. God sent an evil spirit to Saul. And God can send an evil spirit to you. If you deny God and strike out on your own. God is in control and God will not give His glory to another. I've talked to people many a times in my ministry and they think, oh well, I can do this, I can do that. Nobody knows this, nobody knows that. God knows it all and God's in control. And He can grab you with His hand by the nape of the neck and shake you like a dog shaking a snake. Or He can just send an evil spirit. Or He can just leave you to yourself. And you'll destroy yourself. God's sovereign. And we need to bow to Him in every way. Look in Luke chapter 8. God wiped out a man's business one time with some angels. In Luke chapter 8, we'll begin at verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wearing no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. I want you to pay close attention and wear no clothes. We got a society full of devils. People running around with no clothes on. You can rest assured nudity and nakedness and showing your body off is of the devil. It's sure not of the Lord. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was bound, kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Here's a man full of a bunch of devils. And they had already talked to the Lord. They knew who the Lord was. They know more than most men today. "Have you come to torment us before the time?" They knew it wasn't time to be tormented. To be cast into hell yet. Verse 31, "And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he said, and he suffered them." Notice, those devils could not leave that man and go into the hogs until God allowed it. But then He allowed it. "Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at his feet. Notice that. Clothed and in his right mind. If people get in their right minds, they put on their clothes. And they were afraid. They also saw, which Saul told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole country of the multitude besought that he would leave. Notice, they didn't want to lose their whole business. A herd of swine cost a lot of money. You think about that. I don't know what the price of hogs are today, but I haven't even looked. I'd even be afraid to take a guess. But I know at one time there's nothing uncommon for a good herd of hogs if they were the right size and everything to get 40 and 50 cents a pound. And you take just round it off and make it 50 cents. And you take a 300-pound hog, and you're going to get $150 out of that hog. And if you've got 10, that's $1,500. If you've got 20, that's $3,000. You know, in fact, I think somewhere it tells in here how many swine there were. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Maybe I'm thinking of the 153 fish on another occasion. But there were a herd of swine. What I'm trying to say to you, it's more important that you serve God and to be concerned about that than if you lose $2,000 or $3,000 or more. What's more important to you? Several thousand dollars? Or serving the Lord? You see, God could have saved that man who owned those hogs a lot of money. Of course, some have gone so far as to say, and I have no problem with it, that no doubt he was in Jewish territory with Jews and they weren't supposed to be having hogs to begin with. They were an unclean animal. So God rules. God sent legions of animals into a... Christ sent legions of animals. Legions of angels, into these animals, these hogs. God rules over Satan. I'm not going to turn back to the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2. We've gone through that recently, and we know how God ruled the devil in the life of Job. In fact, it was God that pointed the devil to Job. It was God that said, "Have you not considered my servant Job, that there's none like him?" He asked the devil, "Where are you going? Where have you been?" He said, "Well, I've been going up and down the earth." What's the devil do? What's his desire? Is to deceive and to destroy God's people. And there's where he's going up and down throughout the earth. And God said, "What about Job? Oh, you built a hedge around him. I can't get to him. You take the hedge away, he'll curse you to his face." God said, "You can take everything away from Job. Just not him. Don't touch him. Then he said, you can touch him, but you can't take his life. The scripture says, through the mouth of Job, the Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil can do nothing. He is at the hand of God, and he can't do anything without God's permission. He can't do a thing without God's permission. Look in Luke 22. Luke 22. Notice what the Lord tells Peter. God rules the devil, as he did in Job's day. In Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said unto Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. The devil wanted to sift Peter and cause him to be cast out from the Lord. But he knows he can't do that. But Jesus Christ said, I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. The devil could do no more to Peter than what God allowed him to do. That was enough. Peter wept bitterly. But if the Lord were not in control of the devil, so that he could go so far and not any further, Peter would have been overthrown. But he wasn't. He didn't ask that Peter's strength not fail, but that his faith not fail. Peter denied the Lord, but his faith was real and genuine, and he repented. And so will every child of grace. You know what, beloved? Aren't you appreciative when people come up to you from time to time when you're going through a trial and say, I'm praying for you? Isn't that a consolation? Well, you know what? There's one that prays for you continually. That's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's praying for you too. He's praying for you too. He didn't keep Peter from going through the trial, and he didn't keep Peter from denying him, but he kept Peter from ultimately denying his faith. And so will he keep you, dear child of grace. I'm glad to believe in a sovereign God who is in control of it all and who keeps us. We read it in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 11, where the devil, you know, came and tempted Christ in the wilderness. And then in Matthew 4:11, it said, verse 10, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. Verse 11, Then the devil leaveth him. When Jesus had had enough, he said, Get out of here, devil! And he left. One other place says it left him for a season. But when the Lord tells the devil to do something, he's going to do it, whether he likes it or not. But I love Revelation 20. Because ultimately the devil is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and he's not going to be sitting on a throne ruling in hell. Revelation 20 and 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And what's he going to be doing? Ruling and reigning? No. He's going to be tormented. Tormented day and night forever and ever. Our arch enemy, the devil, he's playing havoc now, but eventually he's going to be cast into the lake of fire and he's going to be tormented, tormented forever and forever in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I'm going to close with a statement from Peak in his Sovereignty of God. What I just said, he started out with in this quote. I didn't notice that. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. His government is exercised over inanimate matter, over the brute beast, over the children of men, over angels, good and bad, and over Satan himself. No revolving world, no shining star, no storm, no creature moves, no action of men, no errand of angels, no deeds of the devil. Nothing in all the vast universe can come to pass otherwise than God has eternally purposed. There is a foundation. Here is a foundation for faith. Here is a resting place for the intellect. Here is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. It is not blind fate, unbridled evil, man or devil, but the Lord Almighty who is ruling the world, ruling it according to His good pleasure and for His own eternal glory. Pink Sovereignty of God, page 58. Hallelujah. Let's pray. What else is there to say, O God? Oh, we wish we had the tongue of an angel, the wisdom of Solomon, the eloquence of a Demosthenes, that we could proclaim the richness of Thy glory and Thy majesty and Thy dominion. But if we did, it would not impress one individual unless You opened their heart by Your divine decree. Through the operation of Your Holy Spirit, through an immediate act of Your grace. But someday, all of the glorified saints shall be assembled together to bow before You, ringing out the hallelujahs and the praises for You being the sovereign God that You are, overruling all things and working all things together to bring Your children to the desired end. Then our ears will echo, not with the damnable music and the loud clashing of this world's accolades, but, O God, for the glory and the majesty and dominion from a heart of true worship and praise, will it sound out to You, the Lord God omnipotent, hallelujah, reigneth forever and ever. May that day be soon, O God, that we might see You in all of Your holy splendor. With the devil, the beast, the false prophet, and all who reject Thee, to be cast into the lake of fire, to be tormented forever, both day and night. But all of the glorified saints, all of Your sheep, not one missing because You're sovereign. Not one missing because of Your omnipotence. All housed safely, fully, with a pure heart, lauding the praise and the accolations that are justly due unto You. Oh, to see that day, O God, may it be soon. In Christ's name, Amen.